Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, getting set for another exciting year of high school sports in the state of Illinois as the 2017-2018 academic year underway. We know various sports already have had different competitions, golf well underway, high school volleyball underway, soccer, and then football kicking off this weekend on Friday. Greg Anderson, an exciting time of the year, and you probably think of your Cambridge Viking days when these high school sports season starts.
I absolutely do, yeah, and it's great memories of those days come back, you know, when we move into a new school year in the fall, and in particular, you know, the start of the football season and the fall in general. What a, it's just a great time of year, and here in the IHSA, we're extremely excited about the upcoming school year.
Well, I know last week we had our first show of the 2017-2018 high school sports season. We previewed the high school football season, and one of the topics is participation numbers. And I think here regionally, the numbers are down, and statewide, you know, we're seeing a trend of at least the data I saw released a couple of weeks ago. I think football peaked 51,334 in 2007, down last season 42,682. I know concussions, that's an issue that I think that the numbers play into, maybe a declining population base a little bit as well. But Craig Anderson, how concerning are those numbers when you look at the sport of football, not just in Illinois, but really nationally?
Yeah, well, they are concerning. You know, you know, football is it's an exciting sport. It's a great team sport, and the benefits of, that the kids get as they participate in football are huge. As a former participant through my college years, you know, I revel in the relationships I developed during that time. And so the fact that we have fewer kids participating in football is concerning. You know, there's two parts to that. There's number one, you know, the fact that students aren't taking advantage of the opportunity. But secondly is those that are participating, when there is a lack of numbers, then, you know, it causes levels of football to drop where a team may be only, or a school may be only to provide for a varsity team. And so, you know, you're putting younger athletes, football players, in a position to be forced to compete at a level of which they may not be ready for. So the safety piece in that is a concern when we do lack the numbers. So there's a lot of parts to that that, you know, we're concerned about here. And, you know, the message that football is safer, as safe as it's ever been in regards to the rules and equipment and our knowledge about concussions and awareness of concussions and keeping kids safe. And that, you know, we need to get that message out, I believe, and we'll continue to try to get that message out that the game is as safe as it's been, though it's a difficult game, and, you know, to participate requires a lot of determination and grit on behalf of the participants. And we're getting, as you know, we're getting some kids that specialize in some other sports, and those that maybe years ago when I played used football as their second or third sport of their favorites, but they participated because it was the thing to do. We just don't see that as much. So, you know, we're concerned about it, but the fact is we still have the numbers. We are in a couple areas seeing some growth and, you know, some maintaining of the numbers of participants. So we're going to try to continue to grow it and let people know it's as safe as it's ever been.
And, you know, the information and the awareness about concussions, though, it can be such a double-edged sword, right? You're doing as much as possible with the better equipment, with the education. But even with that, some of the people take that information and say, nah, not going to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I definitely do, yeah. And, you know, the information that comes out of the NFL and some of the studies they've produced definitely don't help us. While we've got studies of players that played through their high school years, and a history would say that there's no connection to those that played through their high school years and then the future medical history of those individuals. But yeah, you're right. It's a difficult piece. But obviously we don't want to lose this sport because those that participate benefit. There's just huge benefits to participation, and we never want to lose that.
All right. And when you look at the declining participation numbers, I know I can use examples in our area specifically where you're talking, you know, some rosters around 40 maybe, freshmen through seniors, and you really worry about, well, can we field a JV team competitively? I know last year the IHSA, I think you deemed it an emerging sport. I think I'm using the right terminology. We're talking about eight-man football in one of those northern Illinois conferences. I think Alden-Hebron is one of the schools that participates up along the Wisconsin border. Is that something you think is going to get more momentum when you're looking at, you know, this trend of declining participation numbers? Is that going to be a serious option, you think?
Oh, I think it will be, yeah. I mean, it allows smaller schools in particular allows them to continue to offer the sport of football and maintain their football teams and all that, you know, additional parts of the school, the marching band, you know, the homecomings can continue to be a part of the life of that school. So I think it is. I think it's a way to survive football programs, to survive at schools. You know, the only other alternative to that is the co-op. And so at some point when your numbers dwindle at your school, you either have to make a choice, you know, do we offer it or not, or is this eight-man football an option for us to continue without, you know, having to co-op maybe with a neighboring school? So we're going to see how it progresses. You know, the fact that we have one conference where at least they can have kind of a full schedule of eight-man football, I think lends itself to allowing other schools to join on and then, you know, just rotate who's playing who. But right now, as you noted, it's regional in the far north east side of our state. And so those that maybe want to do it in west central Illinois, just one or two schools, you know, that extreme travel to go find somebody else to play eight-man football is going to be difficult until, you know, other schools in other parts of the state decide to join in.
And that's where the IHSA would have to consider whether there's a state tournament series for it or how the classification would work. I know that would be one of the issues. Enough about that. I know we'll talk about that more as the year progresses. A couple of items that caught my attention, I guess, at the IHSA Board of Directors meeting earlier this week, and I tell everybody, that's the one thing I like about the IHSA. You can criticize them, but it's a member school derived organization. So if a member school doesn't like something, they have the opportunity to offer a bylaw amendment, and those member schools can say yay or nay. I mean, that's the true democratic process. All right. The one thing that stood out for me, the board heard a report from the staff on its staff retreat discussion, including future ideas to be presented on classifications and state series structure. And I think maybe some of that has to do with, you know, attendance at state tournament basketball, how that series is structured for class. Does it work? Do we do something else there? So that's long story short. Can you tell us what a little more, I guess, elaboration on that issue?
Sure. So one of the key things we've heard from the membership, as you noted, is that in some of our classes we have extreme enrollments from the smallest school to the largest school. For example, in Class 3A, you know, in our four-class bracketed team sports, in a lot of those sports we have extreme enrollments, and so it's difficult for the smaller enrollment school in Class 3A to compete with the largest enrollment school because of the significant difference in enrollments of the schools. So as a staff, we just, you know, with that notion and the fact that we did have a committee developed last year that couldn't reach, you know, kind of a decision that would change it, though the board, upon hearing the input from that committee, thought it's a discussion that we need to continue. So in our staff retreat, we sat down and, you know, just trying to come up with some outside-of-the-box things. And one of the things that we're looking at is how can we keep those enrollments of, you know, on the top and the lower side in individual classes the same. And so we looked at some unequal grouping of schools within the class. So, for example, having more schools in Class 1A and 2A as we may have in 3A and 4A, and we've been in that position in years past. About 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago, we went to the equal divisions of schools in each class, and as a result, that created some significant differences in enrollments. And so we just presented to the board of, you know, an option of is it possible for us to go to where we have significantly more schools in maybe 1A and 2A than we might have in 3A and 4A, which would allow us to keep like schools and enrollments together competing in the state series together, though it likely would create possibly another round of competition in 1A or 2A that we may not have in 3A and 4A. So it was a lukewarm feeling by the board. They're interested in knowing more about that and how it might look across some other sports, wrestling as an example. So we'll continue to talk about that, and obviously, you know, not only the staff, but we're going to engage our membership now and get some more thoughts on it before we would have something proposed. But it's that kind of thing that we're trying to get the membership to acknowledge and see if it's a way we can meet that reduced enrollment separation within schools of the same class.
But as far as reducing classes, you know, people talk about the four-class system, but reducing that, that's not on the table from going from four to three to two classes.
That wasn't something we talked about. We're not hearing that from the membership necessarily, though some would say that the Basketball Coaches Association for years would agree that we need to go back that direction. Just as a principals organization, we're not hearing it from our principals that they're wanting us to decrease the classes back to, you know, as you suggested, from four in our basketball back to two. The membership hasn't indicated that, and that wasn't something we really talked about.
And then, you know, also in relation to that, we're talking with Craig Anderson, the executive director of the IHSA. You know, the actual state tournament, the basketball weekend gets, the boys' basketball weekend gets a lot of the attention, and, you know, the attendance has been an issue. What do we do with that? And, you know, at a time they talked about, well, is one of the considerations, do we play the state tournament the same weekend, 1 through 4A, or do we eliminate the third-place game? Is any of that still being discussed, or where is that going right now?
Yeah, well, that was another piece of what we talked about in our staff retreat. You know, we're just trying to throw things up on the wall and see if anything catches their eye. So we presented some of that you've noted there to the board. You know, do we double up the championship games and keep, you know, and the consolations together on our weekends of our basketball or any of our four-class sports? Or, as you noted, do we eliminate the third-place game, and how does that help us if we do that? At this point, I don't, at least from our board when we presented it, I didn't get the sense that they're ready to go away from the continuing to have the consolation games, though that's a topic that'll be discussed and continue to be discussed. And yeah, we're trying to look at ways that, you know, we can enhance or, you know, bring some, I'll say, refreshing some of the state tournament series. And so not this year, but in the future, we could maybe see some significant changes where, you know, it might generate some more interest and get more people back and attending, because we've created something a little bit different, and kind of see what that's about.
So, I mean, is doing it the same weekend, all classes the same weekend, is that a possibility or not?
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's something that we'll continue to talk about. That was one of the ideas our staff came up with. You know, I think if we do it on a single weekend, I think we have to add a day to the weekend. I think it's impossible to get that many games in that in a weekend, but I think if you eliminate the consolation games and you start games on Thursday, that you probably have enough room within or could create a schedule that would allow you to do all four classes on a single weekend. You know, contractually, we're in Peoria for a number more years on the two weekends, so it would make more sense if we were going to transition to that to do it when the contract's over and reach a new agreement what the location, be it Peoria, Champaign, or wherever, might be willing to host us on. And one weekend might be easier for some of our hosts around the state to, you know, versus a, two weekends of competition. So, yeah, but it is, yeah, it's definitely something that we're considering and wondering what that might create in terms of excitement, attendance, and all those things that we are concerned about.
And I know, Craig Anderson, I know we're taking up your time, and I'm going to try to wrap this up as quickly as possible. But you bring up another point that I thought about when you're talking about this, because the debate that you always hear from the Chicagoland schools compared to the downstate schools, and this is a basketball fan, you know, I'm talking purely a basketball fan, the level of play, I tell people, you're missing out. I don't care if you don't like the four-class system. Man, the games last year in 3A, 4A, really the past couple of years, have been tremendous. I mean, the level of play, to me, has it been reduced? The level of attendance, yeah, it has. Now, I don't know what it is. You don't like the four class, I get it, but if you want to see really good basketball, I tell you, go to the high school basketball. There's, I mean, Illinois high school basketball is so good. Now, I don't know what the reason is for the attendance drop, but the one issue I hear is, well, do it in Chicago, or do it two different sites, big schools in the Chicagoland area, downstate for the small school classes. Is that something that's a possibility, too, that the IHSA will look at as two different sites potentially, or you want to keep it all in the same place?
You know, and this is personally. I'd like to keep it in the same place. I just think it's better for our sports to be in the same place. But if the membership believes there's some benefits to be made, you know, our board will have to weigh in on that. It's not something that we won't consider. I mean, we'll definitely consider that option if it makes sense. You know, the cost to us to host an event as we go north increases a little bit versus being in central Illinois as we are now, but you know, if attendance would double, then that, you know, that alleviates concern about the cost. But you know, that's hard to tell until you take the risk and the chance to take it up there. So difficult to weigh out. But to your point, you noted, and this is something that came up in our board meeting the other day, that you know, people are really missing out because not only the level of play, but you know, the quality of the games and the excitement of the games. And granted, we don't, you know, you don't have the crowd that creates the excitement, or we didn't last year. We have at times, but I mean, we had overtime games. We had some really incredible level of play and an excitement of games that you really want to have when, you know, go down to the wire and watch really good basketball. It's what our basketball tournament has produced now for two or three years in a row.
Yeah. The teams and the individuals and the coaches, whatever you want to say, man. That's why, yeah. I love going every year, and I think it's money well spent if you're a basketball fan to participate in that. One other question. I know that you guys got some information from the chairperson for the Illinois Council of Private Schools involving multiplier data, success formula data. Now, was that just for information purposes only, or is the IHSA, is that a continuing, like, evaluation type of thing?
Yeah, so that particular group, and it was the executive director for that group that presented to our board, and basically it was information to try to convince our board, and eventually I think our membership, that in the view of that group of private schools, there's the opinion that the success factor and the multiplier haven't done maybe what it was intended to do. And again, that's, you know, those opinions are going to vary depending upon who you talk to. You know, we often talk about, and we spent a number of times in the meeting talking about leveling the playing field, and we don't define that, and it's difficult to define exactly what that means. But we had some good discussion with Don Sebastian, who is the executive director of that ICOPS group, exchange between our board and staff with Don. And, you know, there's some points, and there's likely going to be some give and take, I think, between, you know, we're unique. We've been able to maintain a good, in my opinion, good relationship between our private schools and our public schools, and I absolutely want that to continue. And so I think that discussion about multiplier success factor that we've implemented, you know, we've had the success factor for a couple of years. It might be time to have a group, organize a group to look at that, analyze it, and are there some things we can tweak to that? And then the same is true about the multiplier. Over the years, you know, the multiplier has kind of been adjusted, not in the multiplier number, but in the fact how we've allowed those private schools to have a waiver of the multiplier when they're not having much success in individual sport programs. So, you know, we've listened and we'll continue to listen and engage in those discussions to basically hear from all sides of our membership, which includes both our public schools and our private schools.
All right. Well, I've taken enough of Greg Anderson's time this morning with the Illinois High School Association. A Cambridge High School grad longing for the days of a high school football game at the old Cambridge Bowl, nothing better, on a Friday night in the fall. Greg Anderson, thank you very much. I know we'll see you down the road during the high school sports season. I always appreciate your time.
Look forward to it. Thanks, James.
All right, we'll have more on WRMJ and WRMJ.com in a moment.